Wow. Good morning. 13 degrees already in the capital. It's warm now. It's going to cool off into tomorrow. We have a chance of showers later. Tomorrow is the day that we could see some flurries in your forecast as it gets quite cool overnight tonight. And over the next couple of nights, we're down into negative territory, just 6 degrees for your high tomorrow. But then some good looking stuff on Thursday and Friday. More sunshine on the way, more bike days, perhaps. We mentioned we're going to talk about motorcycle safety a little bit later this morning. Getting some nice texts about this already. Kind of making me see the other side, not just the dangerous side of motorcycling. Matt says, just got my first bike and took the Learning Curves MTO certified course. It's an absolutely beautiful experience that nothing in life ever comes close to. Would definitely recommend everyone who can try to get a bike and proper equipment, also training courses. Yes, absolutely. So we're going to talk about motorcycle safety coming up in just a little bit for all of you who are already out there doing it. And those of you who are maybe thinking of it, that's at 10:20 this morning. Now we're going to get to it.
We have to do something. When I mean we, the police, the community, everybody has to, try to do their part, what their lane is, and do the best that we can to help the people down there.
There was a period where, within a week, six business owners were broken into, one per day.
We're small businesses, but we can't change our prices. The prices are set for us by the government.
Story one.
Well, story number one is something that happened late yesterday that left parents obviously reeling and upset as we await further updates today about a school bus and truck collision. This happened in Russell yesterday afternoon. It led to injuries. The school bus at the time, this happened about 4:15, was carrying the driver and just three children. The preliminary investigation shows the school bus was attempting to enter the highway when there was a crash with a transport truck heading eastbound. Now, here's what we know right now. All three children on the bus were injured and taken to CHEO. They are in stable condition. Their injuries were listed as non-life-threatening. Their ages and any identifying information has not been released. CHEO did briefly declare a code orange just before 5 o'clock. It lasted until about 7, which is to free up resources, make sure there is a good response in the emergency room. They're not quite sure what is coming their way in terms of how many kids and how injured until they get a chance to assess. Now, the bus driver was also taken to hospital. While the driver of the transport truck was not hurt, we're yet to receive an update on the condition of the school bus driver. We will be getting updates on this today, and we will provide more information on that as it becomes available. Thankful, obviously, there were not more kids on the bus at the time of this collision, but our thoughts going out to all of the families affected by that this morning.
Story two.
Well, we've now heard more from Chief Eric Stubbs on the police approach to the Byward Market and Lower Town amid all of the concerns about an increase in dangerous activity in the market. Stubbs, speaking with Bill Carroll on the Morning Rush, says it's important to bring a holistic approach here.
We have to do something. When I mean we, the police, the community, everybody has to, try to do their part, what their lane is, and do the best that we can to help the people down there that are vulnerable, but to help, the business owners, to help the people that want to go down there and enjoy that market.
One of those business owners, Phil Aimant, the owner of Gordon Harrison Canadian Gallery right here in the market, says businesses are on edge.
There was a period where within a week, six business owners were broken into, one per day. Couldn't help but wonder, when are you next on the list?
Now, Chief Stubbs says the police will be rolling out a suite of tools and initiatives and ways to cooperate with over 30 local agencies to coordinate all of this.
Looking at people's specific individual issues and trying to resolve them, be it mental health, be it homelessness, be it addiction help. And, of course, our lane, or, the police lane, is, to facilitate, if we interact with these people, to facilitate them to a social agency to try to put them on a positive path. But if they, refuse that and they continue to commit crime in that area, then the justice system is the path we may put them on.
So the chief referring in particular to people who are pushing drugs and the drug crime that is happening and how that is getting pushed on vulnerable populations in the area. This new community outreach response and engagement strategy, this was the report they were looking at the Police Services Board yesterday, will include an outpost at the Rideau Centre. That's set to open in late May. Also more patrolling in the area. Stubbs says more police will be visible in the downtown core and there will be a focus on problem areas.
Being in those hotspot areas, those areas where there's the most calls for service, the most complaints, and again, it focuses on those prolific offenders that are committing a lot of crime. But it also includes, you know, layers of help.
Now, there has been some criticism, of course, as well, of the new core approach from the city, including that the language of help and support is actually covering for a spike in policing in the Byward Market that may harass, harm, or arrest vulnerable populations there. Easy to see how that could be part of what the response needs to be, depending on the situation. Robin Brown of 613-819 Black Hub listed several incidents of the Ottawa Police Service's use of deadly force in recent years, or use of force, and called police officers a threat to public safety. So that's the critique on this. We've heard the calls to defund the police for years, that some of this might be better handled by other agencies than the Ottawa Police. But certainly the language in this report talks about cooperation, talks about a response to those vulnerable. And we had a really good reaction from the Lower Town Community Association yesterday to some of what was in there ahead of that police services meeting. Would love to get your take on this approach this morning. 580-580.
Story three.
This as well. Doctors of various stripes speaking out against the changes to the capital gains tax presented in the recent budget, hoping the federal government might reconsider. Canadian Medical Association President Kathleen Ross says many doctors incorporate their medical practices and invest for retirement internally. Capital gains changes, those outlined in the new federal budget, would increase those taxes and cut into those savings and arrangements that doctors have made. You heard Bill talking about this morning, saying at the very least, their current capital gains investments should be grandfathered and protected because they've made these investments with the understanding that this is the deal and that that money will not be touched in the way it is being looked at in this budget. Now, Ross warns this could further impact the hiring and retaining of family doctors if they're being financially undercut. And we know we have a huge issue there. Dr. Paul Healy is an Oakville emergency physician who helps run the Facebook group Physician Financial Independence, which includes 35,000 members, many of them frustrated over the pricing. And he told Bill Carroll this morning the numbers just aren't adding up.
Inflation has increased 25% in the last 10 years, and we've only had about a 6% increase in our fees. So unfortunately, you know, we're small businesses, but we can't change our prices. The prices are set for us by the government for what we're paid for our services. So all of our income is fixed, but all of our expenses are increased.
And Healy says the capital gains changes just pile onto that. Those changes would tax capital gains above $250,000 at a higher rate, and doctors would not be eligible for exemptions because they invest through corporations. Now, Healy says they don't have pension or benefits like many of us do when we're figuring out our retirement situation, so the corporate structure is beneficial.
One of the things that we do is we use a corporate structure for our small business that allows us to save for our retirement. And the capital gains changes, what they're doing is they're taking a large portion of that money in tax. It would be a lot like a person who has a pension, so the 50% of people in Canada who are lucky enough to have a pension, if the government reached into your pension and took a big chunk of that. So it is very frustrating and a bit demoralizing.
In a statement, a spokesperson for Finance Minister Chrystia Freeland said the federal government is changing the capital gains inclusion rate because, quote, it's unfair that a nurse pays a higher marginal tax rate than a multimillionaire. Would love to hear from you on this one as well. Do you think there should be an exemption for doctors? Are you concerned about the impact and potentially losing more doctors at a time when we already have a shortage here? It's 10:15 on News Talk 580 CFRA. Coming up, the warmer weather means, as you've heard, it's motorcycle season. Getting some great texts about people who love their motorcycles out there. We're going to speak with the Ottawa Safety Council for tips on how to stay safe out on the roads. This is Ottawa at Work.